Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live, starting off football full circle today on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens, alongside the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. Lisi, today is a big day across the National Football League, a difficult day for most involved as well. It is cut day. Your deadline to get your roster down to 53 players is later this afternoon, Lisi, but once that comes to a close, training camp is officially in the books. We look forward to the regular season starting. It is game week prep for every team across the NFL because, Lisi, we're just 9 days away from the start of the 2022 NFL regular season. Next Thursday night in Los Angeles, the Rams host the Buffalo Bills. So a big, big day in the National Football League is already underway, Joe.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, this is where teams really jockey in terms of week number one, adding potential players. We saw Jimmy Garoppolo being signed to the one-year deal. Now the Eagles solidify the secondary with the Chauncey Gardner news. That's big for that secondary going up against teams like Dallas, Washington. Can they shut down those passing attacks? And can Philadelphia now, Ben, be a contender, not just for the NFC East, but more importantly, maybe a deep run into the playoffs this year?
And Lisi, that will be the conversation, because as we are seeing it live and in real time, the Philadelphia Eagles are now co-favorites in the NFC East alongside the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys were the favorites at plus 135 at this point yesterday. The Eagles only 35 cents behind with a plus 170 number. That was the second best ticket, but now they are co-favorites in the NFC East, Lisi, both with a plus 145 number. What do you think, Joe? Chauncey Gardner Johnson adds for Philadelphia that now allows them to be booked as a co-favorite to win the NFC East division.
Well, versatility, right? He could play a little corner, but he's going to play safety. They cut Anthony Harris, an aging safety for that team. So that's where he steps up. I mean, he's a sure tackler. And in terms of always around the football, that's the biggest thing when you just look at his game. You know, the ability to force turnovers. And that's what Philadelphia needs to do. Be opportunistic. Give their quarterback, Jalen Hurts, a short field for a majority of games. And look at the teams that they have to go up against, right? Dallas, okay. We know about C.D. Lamb, but very inexperienced wide receivers with Jalen Tolbert behind him. You look at Washington, same type of situation. Terry McLaurin, the pure number one, and Jahan Dotson, a rookie. So there is the potential for Philadelphia now to be that elite defense within the conference and to shut down prolific offenses. So if they can do that, if they can really minimize big plays over the top now with this addition, they're going to be there as long as the offense continues to develop under Jalen Hurts this year.
Lisi, I would say that right now, from a roster talent perspective, Dallas offensively probably has the best roster, at least the most proven quarterback to this point with Dak Prescott. But there is a ton of optimism for the Eagles on that side of the football. And now year three with Jalen Hurts at the helm in that quarterback position. This is his time to prove he is a long, sustainable starter at a level of success that Philly will need this year. The win total for the Birds now 9.5. The over has the juice at minus 140. 45. But, Joe, I think across the roster, when you add in the defensive side of the ball for Philadelphia, it's the best in this division. Might be one of the best within the NFC. So Philly certainly has the potential now to make noise. Let's see where else the market has moved on the Eagles since this blockbuster trade to get Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Again, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson has been fantastic for the New Orleans Saints. He has played in 43 games over his three-year NFL career, making 31 starts, played in 12 last year, started 11, had three interceptions, seven pass breakups as well, following 13 in 2020, and had 46 tackles, Joe, from that nickelback spot, which is really where the Saints were utilizing him the most. So we talked about the divisional odds for the Eagles moving up in that market. The same has happened, Joe, in terms of their odds to win the NFC Championship, right alongside the Dallas Cowboys. $4 of movement in Philly's favor. They were 14-1, tied with the Cardinals for the sixth best odds. Now they are 10-1, tied with the Cowboys for the fifth best odds. It makes sense, Joe. Co-favorites within the NFC East. Now the same exact price to win the NFC. This should go to show you a cornerback, a safety, a versatile defensive back moving the market this much, Lisi, at this point, as we're a week and a half away from actual football games starting in the regular season. That should show you the impact of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah, I think it's the final piece of the puzzle when you look at Philadelphia's defense. What did they do in the draft? They solidified the middle. They got Jordan Davis. They solidified the linebacker spot with N'Kobe Dean. Now you have a second level. The final piece is the secondary, right? You can never have too much depth in today's NFL where teams are pass happy. You need nickelbacks. You need safeties. You need the ability to put in fresh legs on third down situations. And that's what Gardner-Johnson does and gives this defense right now. And now, more importantly, a playmaker that can force turnovers. That is huge in terms of secondary coverage.
It's a great point. You give that football back to your offense, the top rushing offense in all of the NFL a season ago. Jalen Hurts utilizing his legs, Miles Sanders playing so well, and now you have the pieces on the outside as well with A.J. Brown. We'll continue going around the National Football League up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on FFC, live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. All right, Lisa, you mentioned it at the top of the show. We dealt with the breaking news that happened today. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson traded from New Orleans to Philadelphia. In return, Philly sends a fifth-round draft pick next year and the worst of their sixth-round draft picks that they have slated as of right now for the 2024 draft. So not a bad haul when you get Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and only have to send back a fifth and a sixth round pick. He's one of the most versatile slot defenders in all of the National Football League, and we saw that reflected in the market because the Eagles now 10-1 to win the NFC, tied for the fifth best odds with the Cowboys, and they are both, the Cowboys and the Eagles, co-favorites to win the NFC East. But we saw some movement yesterday from a player perspective, Joe, or a lack of movement, I guess you could say, in the National Football League. The team with the fourth best odds to win the NFC, that would be the San Francisco 49ers at plus 750. It is Trey Lance's team, Joe, which makes the re-signing of Jimmy Garoppolo, officially keeping Jimmy G in San Francisco for the foreseeable future, at least this year, at least until the trade deadline following week 10 of this NFL season, keeps it very, very interesting. What did you make of the Niners' move to decide to keep Jimmy G?
Yeah, it's a hedge, right? It's a hedge of Trey Lance, in my opinion, failing early on in the season and having a comparable backup that could step in and still potentially lead this team to maybe a wild card or even a division title. It's a bad move by San Francisco, in my opinion. You don't move up to the number third slot to reach up and grab Trey Lance and then all of a sudden keep the quarterback that took your team to a Super Bowl and an NFC Championship last year still on the roster. That's why Baker Mayfield's with Carolina. It's just a bad mix in terms of team chemistry. Trey Lance going to be looking over his shoulder every step of the way. Every time he makes a mistake, the media is going to be on this story every turn. And what does that do to the mindset? Forget just the quarterbacks, Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo. It's every other player in that locker room.
Right.
They answer questions. Is Trey the guy? Is Jimmy the guy? Do you want? And what if they are divided? You know, you have guys that have battled there and have gotten to a Super Bowl and an NFC championship with Jimmy G at the helm that maybe are lobbying for him to start the year because maybe he gives the team the best shot to get back to the playoffs, and now you have a divided locker room. Not good in any circumstance, Ben.
I completely agree, Joe. I think you laid it out so well there. There are so many different angles that you could attack this situation from. Practically, we'll try to provide a little bit of context. There are some no-trade clauses in this new restructured deal for Jimmy Garoppolo, which means that he would have to, as would the Niners have to, sign off on any potential trade discussions. And there is an opportunity that he could be traded before that Week 10 NFL deadline. It gives them about 2.5-3 months of leeway here if they need to finalize a deal, because there has really been no value in the market for Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think the Niners got anything back that they would love in terms of offers that were put up for Jimmy Garoppolo and any potential deals there, Joe, but there is an opportunity as the regular season plays out, teams either having a quarterback that does not live up to expectation or there's injuries among a roster in the quarterback room, then maybe the services of Jimmy Garoppolo becomes more attractive. So there is that potential for Jimmy G to not end the year as a member of the Niners. But it's so interesting, Joe, to bring him back, because what does that tell you optically? It might make sense practically, but optically I think it says one of two things. Either Trey Lance is not ready, you are not 100% committed that he is 100% ready to lead your team to the postseason, and that's a part of the conversation, Joe, right? The Niners win total is 9.5. The over is juiced at minus 160. That is almost a virtual lock. San Francisco is a double-digit win football team this year in 2022. Their odds to make the postseason, minus 225. Tied for the fifth best across the entire National Football League. San Francisco has so much talent up and down their roster, offensively, defensively, outside of their quarterback spot. They are expected to be a surefire playoff team this upcoming year. So what does it say if you're keeping Jimmy Garoppolo just in case, maybe break glass in case of emergency, Trey Lance is not there guy? Does it say that they made a mistake in trading up to number three in the 2021 NFL draft to select Trey Lance? I think you'll at least have those narratives start to sprinkle in, whether they be true fully in San Francisco's mindset, Joe, or not.
I agree, and I think that if you were going to reach up to the number third selection in last year's draft, you should have taken Justin Fields over Trey Lance, because I thought he was more NFL ready, and right. I thought he had the biggest upside if we're comparing both quarterbacks. I think when we look at this decision 3 or 4 or even 5 years down the road, in my opinion, I think he's going to be a bust in that matter. I really do. I think without a running game, you need to rely on Trey Lance. I think he's completely inconsistent at this point of his career. He's raw. He doesn't understand how to read coverage, and I think that that's where Jimmy Garoppolo has an advantage. Maybe not the arm strength and the speed and the athleticism, but in understanding anticipating throws because he recognizes coverage and he just has played in the league so long, I think that's where Jimmy Garoppolo gives an added advantage to the San Francisco 49ers offense, and where Trey Lance is as a significant disadvantage at this point in his career. Let's not forget, he played 6 games last year. He completed less than 60%. What was he, 57%? And he looked inconsistent in the last game against a mediocre Houston defense? I mean, come on. I mean, I think it's just a recipe to go all downhill. 1, 2, or even 3 losses in a row. This team is going to be searching for answers. And then what happens if Jimmy G comes in and plays lights out? Then what do you do in terms of that situation and the franchise moving forward? Is he Josh Rosen 2.0 after that?
Josh Rosen cut today by the Cleveland Browns, by the way, on this cut day across the National Football League. So, Lisa, let me paint you this picture, if you will. Let's look at the Niners' schedule. I'm going to pull it up right now, and we're going to play out a little scenario and see what you would do if you were getting ready with San Francisco for the start of the regular season. The first week should be an easy game, despite being on the road. The Niners, a 6.5-point road favorite against the Chicago Bears. The next week, a divisional game at home against the Seattle Seahawks. Right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Niners are booked, as I look for this line quickly, the Niners booked as a 7.5-point favorite. So, Joe, the first 2 weeks, the Niners booked as a near touchdown favorite. Then they play the Broncos on the road. Then they host the Rams for the first time. They visit Carolina and then Atlanta. Then they have the Chiefs, the Rams, the Chargers, and the Cardinals and the Saints to end out November. Let's go back to those first 4 weeks, though, right? They open with the Bears and the Seahawks, 7-point favorites pretty much in each of those two games. Then the Broncos, then the Rams. What if Trey Lance and the Niners surprisingly start out 1-3? Through four games, they should probably be 3-1 in. What do the Niners do then? Do they go and stick with Trey Lance, or do they make the move to Jimmy Garoppolo?
I would make the move to Jimmy G, especially if he's only under 60% and, let's say, throws two touchdowns in the first four games of the regular season. Then you have major problems. If the offense does not look any different last year compared to this year with Trey Lance at the helm, then I think it's a fail, and you have to go back to the quarterback that got you to the promised land. It's just the bottom line. I mean, either he does it or he doesn't. The reason why Trey Lance is implemented as the starter, explosive plays, the ability to challenge defenses over the top, if he's not doing that against the better teams in the division, then what are we doing here? Then I don't understand why we got him in the first place.
The Niners have the 13th easiest schedule, according to our colleague Warren Sharp's win total projection model. It's not the hardest gauntlet, especially as we laid out early on for young Trey Lance to potentially find his groove. A couple of closing thoughts on the quarterback situation in San Francisco. We round out our discussion about the NFL up next here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Continuing our discussion around the Jimmy Garoppolo re-signing and restructuring of his contract to stay a member currently of the San Francisco 49ers. As you heard there from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, Jimmy Garoppolo is the highest paid backup quarterback in the National Football League to back up the number 3 overall pick from the 2021 NFL Draft, who the Niners traded up to get in Trey Lance. All part of the fascinating conversation that now unfolds for the Niners this year. I'm Ben Stevens. He's Joe Lisi. And Lisi, we were kind of having this discussion briefly during the break. We mentioned what happens with the Niners if they start off slow this year. A team that has a lot is expected of this season. A 9.5 win total. The over juiced at minus 160. Minus 225 to make the postseason. Plus 175 to win the competitive NFC West, the second best price. In the fifth best number at plus 750. Excuse me, the fourth best number at plus 750 to win the NFC Championship. Again, lofty expectations for the Niners in terms of how they are expected to compete for a postseason spot and, of course, an opportunity to play once again for the second straight year in the NFC title game. Now, San Francisco was booked as a near touchdown favorite in each of its first two games. As we laid out, the Niners have one of the easier schedules, top half of easiest schedules in the NFL this season. So they might not start 1-3 or 2-4 or whatever it might be, Joe, but let's play that out for the sake of this conversation. Let's say the Niners, through 5 weeks, are 1-4. What do the Niners do there? Do they bench Trey Lance in favor of Jimmy Garoppolo, or do they stick with Trey Lance to try to see if he can prove it as the starter at the NFL level? Because I think it's so interesting, Lisi, when you lay this out. Normally, a second-year quarterback who only played in 6 games last year, only making 2 starts, would be given some time to develop in the National Football League. The Niners have invested in him. They traded up to get that number 3 overall pick in 2 years ago's draft. They want to see what Trey Lance is made of. So you would give him that time, even if he struggles early on in his NFL career, to see if you were right or at the very least if you were wrong. But I don't think Trey Lance is going to have that time, Lisa. He's not going to have that leeway because, as we said, the Niners are minus 225 to make the postseason. This is not a rebuilding year for the Niners. This is not a flush-it-down-the-drain type of year for the Niners. They're too talented elsewhere in the roster. It's a very interesting conversation we're going to have to monitor.
It is, and I think here it is. You know, in the NFL today, just like in college football, the margin of error is very, very slight. You have to hit the ground running within a 1 or 2 year window. You know, Danny Jones and Daniel Jones in New York is given too much time to show if he's a starter or not. Tua, we made that assessment basically, or Brian Flores did it, within the first year of him starting. And Trey Lance started 5-6 games last year, right? He did get into action and didn't step up. Now, if you have a body of work, let's say 6 games into 2022, you can make that assumption or that evaluation. This is going to be the face of our franchise. This kid has the intangibles. He can lead the offense or he doesn't. At the end of the day, when you have a team that's built for the playoffs, offense and defensive lines are up against everybody in the NFC. The only team that I would say has maybe a better edge is probably the LA Rams in terms of offense and defensive line play, especially now when you look at Tampa Bay's problems. So this team is built in the interior to go for at least a playoff run. You need a quarterback to take you over the top. Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't do it. Let's be honest. A 172 against Dallas, 132 against Green Bay, and he failed to step up in the 5 minutes in the last play of the game against the Rams. That's why Trey Lance is there. If he can't lead your team to regular season wins in the first half of the year, that's it. He's done. You have to move on and make a better evaluation or put somebody in that can lead your team to the playoffs. That's it. He doesn't get this year, and then we'll worry about 2023. You reached up to grab him. You made a bad bet. Now you have to live by it.
And it will be that conversation. Because, again, although it's an easy schedule and the Niners might start off a perfect 2-0 and make quick work of the Bears in Soldier Field on the road, but booked as a 6.5-point favorite for week number one, tied for the largest spread of that slate that is less than 2 weeks away, in a 7.5-point home favorite against a divisional opponent in Seattle. Both the Seahawks and the Bears, Joe, have a win total of 5.5, so not much expected out of either of those two ball clubs. So it should be an easy start. It should be at least 2 straight-up wins, but it also gives that other side of the conversation if you want to take that devil's advocate approach. What if they're supposed to win football games by a touchdown or more, and they end up losing outright? Booked his favorites in both of those. Is that even more of an indictment on Trey Lance? It will be a fascinating storyline to now follow because the Niners have made it a storyline, whether they want it or not, whether they think it's practical and best for both sides. They have that harbor in case they have Trey Lance struggle and Jimmy G gets to stay, and hopefully the trade market opens up sometime throughout the regular season, and then if not, he gets to pick his destination next offseason. I get that from the practical nature, but what that does for the young Trey Lance, what that says about your draft and your decision making and what that says for your roster that is seen to be one of the most talented in all of the league has now become a big, big conversation. Because, Lisa, we made this comparison point, right? We had Justin Fields, who we just talked about. They open up the season against each other. 2 second-year quarterbacks. You and I are huge Justin Fields fans. He was fantastic in Chicago's preseason finale against the Cleveland Browns. Fantastic in that preseason finale, leaving 3 touchdown drives of 50 or more yards. Justin Fields is playing for the Bears, and they have not given him pretty much any support around him from the offensive side of the football. Yet the Bears' win total is 5.5. So if Justin Fields almost expectedly so struggles, he'll have a little bit of leeway to figure it out, to see if he can make it work in Chicago, which if it doesn't, I think that's more in the Bears organization than the talents of Justin Fields, but that's a different conversation for a different day. It's that expectation level, though, Joe, for a year or two quarterback in Justin Fields having some of that time to go through the growing pains, which Trey Lance does not have.
No, and here's the thing. This team has the pieces, right? We know they have the pieces. Chicago's in a complete rebuild. Offensive to defensive lines are completely nowhere near where San Francisco are. Justin Fields is going to be given 2 or 3 years because they just don't have the playmakers to develop the offense that he should be playing in. He should be playing in San Francisco, in my opinion. But Trey Lance, here's the problem, Ben. He stepped up at an FCS level with the Alabama of North Dakota State. They had the best talent, yep, best offense, best defense, yep, best wide receivers. I mean, how much more did he have around him? And we didn't see him play in a difficult ball game. I mean, we didn't see him face adversity. And that's the biggest thing, I think, when you evaluate quarterbacks on the next level. Did they step up? Yeah. Did they have elite talent around them? But did they step up, especially away from home in road environments with their backs against the wall? And did they elevate their teammates and those playmakers around them to make them better? Did he show the it factor? Like, I don't care what it takes. I'm going to stare down the barrel of that defense, just like Joe Burrow did in LSU, that every big game he played and he was an underdog, he stepped up and actually played better. Every time they were selling LSU short, LSU won because of Joe Burrow. Same thing last year with Cincinnati. I haven't seen that from Trey Lance yet. It's just like going through the motions. I have the attributes. I know I can fling it, but I don't know what it takes to get it there. And that's the problem in terms of recognizing the coverage and understanding the philosophy and scheme of the offense. That takes time. Either you hit the ground running or you don't. And that's the hard knocks of the NFL right now.
Absolutely so. And you would have to think that because of how good of an offensive play caller and a schematics guy Kyle Shanahan is, a lot of the offenses around the NFL try to model his system that has been built with Sean McVay and now Mike McDaniel in Miami and Matt LaFleur and all of that, that he would put his young quarterback in the best spots. And given how much talent there is across the roster, guys like Deebo Samuel, guys like Brandon Ayuk, guys that came on last year like Elijah Mitchell in that backfield, as well, that and George Kittle. I cannot forget George Kittle, of course. That when you have that talent, Lisi, you should be able to put your young quarterback in the best spots to have success. He doesn't have to do all that much for your offense to be good, to win you football games, especially if your defense is only giving up less than 3 scores a game. We'll just see how it all plays out. And the conversation now has been opened up by the Niners, whether they like it or not. That is the reality of the situation. It's slightly awkward in San Francisco because, Lisi, Jimmy Garoppolo, whether you don't think he's a very good quarterback, or if he's not top half in the NFL or not even top 25, whatever it might be, he has been a part of these Niners teams, Lisi, like you mentioned, that I think is a great point. And the guys love him in the locker room. And he has been the quarterback for 2 teams that have reached the NFC title game in 2 of the last 3 years. He was the quarterback for the team in 2019 that faced off against the Chiefs in Super Bowl 54, ultimately losing that game, but still a Super Bowl appearance. That's a lot more than many quarterbacks around the National Football League can say at this point. Jimmy Garoppolo has been there. Jimmy Garoppolo might not be the reason San Francisco got to those stages, Joe, but it was certainly not in spite of Jimmy G's performance. So if there is even a small margin of error for Trey Lance and there is a perceived amount of wiggle room, I think it is going to be so difficult to not put Jimmy Garoppolo in that position, Joe. I really do.
Yeah, and here's the thing that Shanahan has to face. Does he want to give up this season? Because that's what you're doing if you let Trey Lance continue and they go, let's say, 7-10 this year. Now you're at a complete disadvantage heading into 2023.
So we'll see what happens as we move forward. As we keep going here on Football Full Circle, we'll come back and break down some college lines as we get ready for week 1. It starts in just a few days. Come back and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One of us. One of us. One of us. You just heard from Notre Dame head coach Marcus Freeman when he was told by the media yesterday, entering week 1 in the marquee matchup on Saturday night for his Fighting Irish against Ohio State, that the Buckeyes are favored by 17.5 points. That is now bulletin board material in South Bend, Indiana. Welcome back to Football Full Circle. Week 1 of the college football season, Lisi, when the entire country gets underway. way. Week zero was the appetizer. Get ready for the whole damn buffet. Week number one of this college football season. And Lisey, it starts early and often, just 2 days away. Thursday night, ranked teams in action for the first time this year. 17th ranked Pittsburgh hosts West Virginia in a renewal of the backyard brawl. We have Oklahoma State, who is just a few inches away from a Big 12 championship victory a season ago. They are back in action as well, hosting Central Michigan. A Big Ten opener, Lisey. Penn State and Purdue in West Lafayette. And pay attention to the high-powered offense of the Tennessee Volunteers. They open up in Rocky Top against Ball State. Lisey, of all the games on the Thursday night slate, which one are you looking forward to the most?
No, I think the two that come to mind for me are the Big Ten matchup between Purdue and Penn State, and then the backyard brawl with both of those new quarterbacks, JT Daniels for West Virginia and Keaton Slovis for Pittsburgh. Can Pitt get back to the Coastal and win the Coastal and face off potentially against Clemson this year? Only time will tell. I will say, when I break that down that game, you got to give the inside edge to the front seven of Pittsburgh. They stepped up last year, very solid against the run. Got after the quarterback. That seems to carry well in rivalry type of matchups, but we'll see how it plays out. Already a 7.5-point favorite at home in Pittsburgh in the backyard brawl. So those are the two games I'm going to be monitoring, but watching them all on Thursday. Great first night of action, Ben.
Oh, it's a great Thursday night slate. Really, really good to get us going here in week number one of the college football season. I can't wait to see what that Oklahoma State defense looks like now under Derek Mason, with Jim Knowles, the defensive coordinator in Columbus, for Ohio State, a top 10 unit in scoring defense a season ago, a top 4 unit in terms of total defense last year. We'll see what the Pokes have entering 2022. Minnesota is underway on Thursday night as well. Joe, a 36.5-point favorite against New Mexico State, who was in action this past week against Nevada. The Wolfpack covering a number that came all the way down to 8.5. The Wolfpack winning that game against the Aggies of NMSU. So a ton of games, Joe. Missouri and La Tech, 19.5 points in favor of the Tigers. Eli Drinkwitz, the coach, still in Columbia. We'll see how they open up against Louisiana Tech on Thursday night. I do, though, Joe, want to take a moment to discuss Penn State and Purdue. I'm very excited by this game. I have shared my thoughts, I think, here, Lisey, about Penn State. I think the Nittany Lions can really be a special team this year. I love what they have returned defensively, although Brent Pry is now the head coach in Virginia Tech and no longer the defensive coordinator. I think when you give me P.J. Mustafa back in the middle of that defensive line, you give me Keon Ellis on the back end along with Joey Porter Jr., I think on all three levels that Penn State defense is going to be so good this year. I understand the questions around Sean Clifford, and those are deserved, but I think the backfield for the Nittany Lions is going to be one of the deepest and one of the best in the entirety of the Big Ten Conference, a conference that knows running the football. So I'm very high on Penn State, Joe, and we've seen this line work in their favor just sparingly from a touchdown, from a field goal when it opened up, to 3.5 now in favor of the Nittany Lions on the road in West Lafayette against the Boilermakers. But that's the interesting thing here, Joe. Purdue has a ton of optimism and hype entering the 2022 season because of the returner at quarterback in Aiden O'Connell off a record-setting year last year for Purdue. I don't know if I buy into all of that optimism, though, Joe, for the Boilermakers, and I think Penn State, with a 3.5-point number, that's one of my favorite bets for week one.
Yeah, I favor Penn State as well. A couple things. From the series perspective, Penn State has won 9 straight in the series against the Boilermakers. Last time they played was back in 2019, but it's a tale of two different offenses. Penn State, right, to your point, wants to be more balanced with the rushing attack. They have Allen and Singleton, two big play freshmen that should just activate that offense with Kavion Lee and that offensive line. If they can move the football and sustain drives, they're going to keep Aiden O'Connell on the sidelines. But if you're Purdue, you want to push tempo, right? That's the biggest thing. Purdue has problems running the football, more pass heavy. They're going to challenge and stress Joey Porter and that defense, right, early and often. So Penn State needs to be into this ball game in the sense of, if I'm the offense, I need to keep my defense fresh. How do I do that? Let's not score too quick and get into a 55-51 ball game with Aiden O'Connell. That's not the way you beat them. You want to beat them up in the interior, force them into predictable third down downs and then rely on that front seven that gets after it. And Manny Diaz loves to blitz. Let's not forget it. He loves to utilize blitz packages. So if Aiden O'Connell is in third and long, I expect him to get hit early and often. That is the weakness to me. The offensive line, we saw Tennessee get to him in the bowl game. I think Penn State does as well. I think they're able to run the football with Karlaftis now moving on to the NFL. I think that's going to be a hit to that defense, and I expect the physicality of Penn State to shine through. I think they win this ball game convincingly.
Joe, when you look at Aiden O'Connell last year, threw for over 3,700 yards and 28 touchdowns. He appeared in all 12 games, or in 12 of the 13 for Purdue, because they ended up playing a bowl game as well, making nine starts. He made his first start of the year in early October against Minnesota. He took over Purdue's offense at the halftime mark of that Illinois game to end out the final Saturday in September. And he still set single season records at Purdue, where quarterbacks have been very good, like Drew Brees and Kyle Orton. But he has the single season Purdue record for completion percentage, nearly 72%, and passer efficiency, which was a perfect rating of 158.8. He was eighth in attempts, tied for fourth in completions, fifth in passing yards, and fourth in touchdowns. Lisa, if he had started all 13 games for the Boilers, he might have broken all of those records. So that is the optimism for Purdue entering this year. Aiden O'Connell is back. Jeff Brohm is a quarterback whisperer. He is an offensive mind. This team is going to put up 35 points a game. I'm just not so sure it's going to be the case. What's the ground game going to look like for Purdue this year? Is it going to be King Daru? He's been there for a while. We'll see what that looks like. They don't have David Bell any longer. And I know David Bell was a little banged up last year for Purdue as well. Lost a little bit of that shine throughout the year. And I know they get some Big Ten transfers and Tyrone Tracy and Charlie Jones out of Iowa that can certainly play football as well. But I'm not as high on this Purdue team as some others are. The schedule is not all that difficult, so maybe the rest of the season is a success. I just think week number one, Joe, the Nittany Lions get back to what we have expected in Happy Valley, even in the James Franklin era. Because let's face it, 2020 was a disaster. It was a weird year for everybody. Penn State was one of two Big Ten teams that played all nine games available in the 2020 season. They lost the first five. They won the final four. The 0-5 start for the Penn State football program was one of the worst in the history of that long tenure illustrious college football program. And then they followed it up in 2021, Joe, when there was optimism again for the Nittany Lions, only winning seven games. They went 4-5 in the Big Ten, but all five of those losses by single digits, an average margin of defeat of only 4.2 points per game. And so, when you think about the years prior to 2020, in these last 2 years for Penn State football, an 11-win football team in 3 of 4 years, Lisi, that is the more the standard of success that James Franklin wants to have, of course, and is expected to have in Happy Valley. That is closer to what I think Penn State looks like this year than what they have the previous two.
Well, keep in mind, they're going to have to win on the road. That's been a mark under James Franklin over the past couple of seasons, that they haven't stepped up in tough environments. Did it last year, obviously, week one as a 4.5-point dog against Paul Chryst, who was one of the worst game planners, in my opinion, in terms of in-game game planners in college football.
Like
you could throw him in there. No, he is horrible. And when things do not go Wisconsin's way, he does not adjust. But you just look at this. They're going to have to win at Purdue, and I agree with you. They're 33-7 since 2018 at home, okay? They get Ohio State at home. They're going to have to go on the road to face Michigan. That game last year hurt them in terms of the last 3 minutes. If Penn State is for real, if they're going to get over the 8.5, they're going to get to 10 and potentially challenge Ohio State, they're going to need to go into rough environments, force turnovers. They got to go on the plains in Auburn. They're already 1-point favorites in that matchup. They're going to need to step up in an SEC environment as well if this team is for real. But I'm with you. I'm a buyer of James Franklin, physicality on the interior lines, and if Manny Diaz can elevate that defense and be opportunistic with Porter, I love that secondary going up against Aiden O'Connell in this matchup. Now we'll see if they could step up and do it. They did it last year, but the running game I think will shine through in this ballgame in West Lafayette.
You might have your thoughts on Manny Diaz as a head coach throughout his time in Miami. He's a great defensive coordinator and a great defensive mind. Penn State, Joe, is a 6.5-point underdog already for that game at Michigan. It's the middle of October, Saturday, October 15th. Let's throw away these last 2 years because it's been in a complete anomaly from what we have seen normally for Penn State and Michigan, because Michigan won in-state college last year. That hadn't really happened. They won 21-17. Penn State won in Ann Arbor in that weird 2020 year where Michigan only won two football games. They won that game 27-17. But Joe, as you go all the way back to 2013, the team with home field advantage, all the way back to 2010 even rather, back when it was leaders and legends, you go all the way back to 2010, the team with home field advantage in the Penn State-Michigan rivalry has dominated. In 2019, Penn State won by a touchdown, 28-21. Then in Ann Arbor the year before, 2018, Michigan won by 35. Flip it back to 2017, Penn State won 42-13. Then in Ann Arbor the year before, 49-10, Michigan wins. Pretty much to paint out the point here, Joe, that not only does home field advantage matter for Penn State and Michigan, it could mean a huge blowout decisive victory. It is that important. So for Penn State to have to go on the road for the second time in 3 years and win one in Ann Arbor is not necessarily something that history points us to, but if they are going to get back to the top of the Big Ten East, it might be something, though, Joe, that Penn State must do to knock off Michigan on that path.
Absolutely. They lose at Iowa last year. They lose against Ohio State. They lose the bowl game to Arkansas. Those are three road losses right there for the Penn State and Nittany Lions. They need a better effort. They can win at home. We know that. They go toe-to-toe and cover against Ohio State. They covered six straight but have lost nine of the last 10. They get Ohio State in their house on October 29th. Now they have to knock off Michigan and the likes of Iowa. So if they can do that, they have a shot.
And we'll see how they get to that point. The win total that I grabbed earlier this offseason, Joe, was 8.5. At the time, the over was plus money at plus 110. The FanDuel Sportsbook has taken the hook off that win total, put it at 8, but the over is at minus 145 now. I feel pretty confident Penn State will give you 9 wins. I really, really do. And I'm pretty happy I got that number at 8.5 with a little bit of plus money to the over as opposed to the minus 145 on the 8. Of course, when you take off the hook, it gives you the opportunity to push, which is a way out of your bet necessarily, but we go for that plus money. We'll do that up next here as we round out the show today on Football Full Circle. A couple of more games to discuss from the opening weekend slate of CFB. Come back and join us on FFC live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We wrap up the show here on Football Full Circle today, live on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi, we heard from Marcus Freeman earlier in the show, making note of the 17.5-point spread of which Ohio State is favored for their Saturday night matchup in Columbus at the Shoe. Marcus Freeman, the first-year head coach for Notre Dame, believes it's a slight to his program. It's bulletin board material now for the Irish. But, Lisi, as you evaluate Ohio State and Notre Dame, a top-five tilt that I say in air quotes because maybe Notre Dame is a top-five team only to build the notoriety for this opening matchup against the Buckeyes, do you think Ohio State is deserving of being more than a 3-score favorite?
No, I mean, this line opened up at 10.5 and sharp money came in. They pushed it up over 14.5. It got up to 16, and now all of a sudden it just blew right past 17.5, a critical number. I'll just say this. 29-2 Ohio State last 5 years under Ryan Day and Urban Meyer. They only two losses, Oklahoma and Oregon, but they've won those games, 29 games, by an average margin of victory of about 34 points per game in the Horseshoe. But you give Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame 6 months of prep, they can run the football, they have four offensive line starters coming back. That's how you neutralize an explosive offense. Even though I don't love Buckner, I think they're going to be in this ball game from start to finish. I really do. They might not win, but I think they're definitely going to cover the 17.5-point number against the Buckeyes Saturday night.
Lisi, there is only one way in my mind that Notre Dame keeps it within that margin and keeps Ohio State from not blowing them out in Columbus on Saturday. You can estimate right now, with a total at 58 and a hook, that Ohio State's team total will be somewhere around 36.5, 37.5. Notre Dame has to keep them under that number. 35 points probably guarantees an Ohio State win, but also a Notre Dame cover of that 17.5 point spread. Plenty of big spreads for week one of college football. Plenty more to discuss in the coming days here on Football Full Circle. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. The Money Line with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. They might be talking some tennis is up next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.